So what? At the risk of being sacrilegious, so what? We oftentimes on Good Friday focus on the cross and what Jesus did for us, and we have salvation, we have forgiveness, but so what? Is that all there is to it? What difference does the cross make in our lives on a daily basis? Is it just a ticket to heaven? Or is there more to it than that? For the next few moments, I want us to focus on a passage of Scripture that has three key words: know, consider, and present. What the passage says is, know the facts, consider the facts to be true, and then live in light of it. Here's what to do in light of what these facts say. The passage I want us to look at is Romans chapter 6. We're actually going to start in chapter 5, verse 20, with kind of one of those obvious sacrilegious questions, where the Apostle Paul starts out in Romans 5:20. He says, "Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What Paul says is, where there's great sin, there is great grace. And the sacrilegious question is, which apparently Paul was addressing, was, well, hey, if grace is so great, let's sin boldly. Let's just dive right into sin because God's going to forgive me. Grace is all that great. And that's where, when Paul starts in chapter 6, he answers that obvious question. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says, by no means. I would say that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But that's what Paul says, because apparently people are thinking that. If grace is so good, man, I should really sin boldly so I can experience more grace. And Paul says, no, absolutely not. And here's the reason. And this is where this word know is repeated three times in verses 3 through 10. Where Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. For if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. See, what Paul's argument is that when a person's baptized, and in a couple of weeks we'll have baptism, and it's the picture that when a person goes down into the water, they die and are buried with Christ. And when they come up out of the water, it's the picture that they are resurrected with Christ. And what Paul is saying is that when that takes place, there is a very real sense in which We died with Christ on the cross. And as a result of that, since Christ died to sin on the cross, we died to sin on the cross. And Paul's argument in verses 1 through 10 is we need to know that we are united with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the fact. We need to know the fact that we are united with Christ in his death, his burial, and resurrection. And baptism is what pictures that. Then Paul goes on to say, in verse 11, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here's the fact. We've been buried with Christ. We died with Christ. We've been buried with Christ. We're resurrected with Christ. In light of that, we need to believe what we believe. We need to believe that we are dead to sin. Because that's what Paul says. In light of the fact that Christ died for us, died with him, then we need to recognize the fact and consider the fact that we are now dead to sin. That sin no longer has control of us. We don't have to say yes to every temptation that comes along. We don't have to compromise. We don't have to lie. We don't have to consider having an affair with somebody else that we're not married to. We don't have to fudge on our income tax. We no longer have to say yes to temptation. Why? Because there's a very real sense in which that old sin nature is now dead. Why? Because it died with Christ. And the fact is, we need to know that fact. We died, we've been buried, we've been resurrected with Christ. And we need to believe what we believe. If this is true, then the reality is, we should be dead to sin, but alive to God. And then Paul goes on to say, okay, in light of that, here's what you need to do. Verses 12 through 14. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present yourselves, your members to sin, as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you since you're not under law but under grace. Since we've experienced grace through Jesus, we don't sin boldly, but rather we sin less as a result of that. In essence, instead of presenting ourselves to sin, we give ourselves to God. That was not the last song we sang, Hold Rugged Cross, but the one before that, Love Ran Red. There was the phrase in there, which my mind is going blank right now, but see, at the cross, I present myself, I submit myself to God. That's what Paul is saying, is that in light of the cross is more than just salvation. That is a wonderful thing about the cross. Please don't misunderstand me. We have great forgiveness. God poured out his grace in our lives. But the cross should make a difference in how we live. Because as Paul said, Jesus' death and burial were decisive events. Verse 9 says, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lived to God. He died once and then lives forever. And that should be our experience as well. That we should die to sin and give ourselves totally, completely to God. Before we take communion, I want to challenge you to think about that. In the pocket of the seat in front of you is a card that says, dead to sin, alive to God. It has the verse, Romans 6:6. It says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Before you take communion tonight, I want to challenge you to take that card, meditate on what it says, and write your name in the middle. And then come up and hang that on one of the nails of the cross where Jesus' hands would have been or his feet would have been. Take time to think about that. Think about the implications of that. There may be things in your life right now that should not be there because you have given yourself to sin. And if that's the case, then you need to repent tonight before you come and take communion. When you're ready to do that, take as much time as you need to think, to ponder, to pray. And then when you're ready to do that, come up, like you say, nail your card to the cross, nail yourself to the cross, in essence, saying that you have died to sin and you are giving yourself to God. And then when you're ready to do that, and then come take communion. There's a station here in the front. There's one in the back, so you don't have to crowd around it. Take as much time as you need. Take the elements. You can stand by the table if you want. You can go sit down if you want. You can go someplace else in the building if you want. The only thing I would ask is that you leave quietly and don't talk until you get outside the building so that those who are still thinking, pondering, praying can have a quiet time to do that. But Christ died for us. Not merely so we can go to heaven, as good as that is, but so that we can have victory over sin today. But that means that we need to know the facts, to know that we are united with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. We need to consider that to be true, to consider the fact that we are dead to sin, but alive to God. And then we need to present ourselves to God, not to sin. Let me pray for us. And then, as I said, take as much time as you want to think, to pray, to ponder. Use that time to recommit yourself to follow God wholeheartedly. Reflect on the cost of your salvation and what it means for you going forward. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus to be our Savior. Father, thank you that he not only conquered sin and death, he not only provided a way for us to be restored to a relationship with you, that he not only provided for our forgiveness, but that he also provided for us to have victory over sin in our daily lives. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us to consider ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to you. Father, remind us once again of how much you loved us in sending Jesus to be our Savior. And we commit this time to you in your name. Amen.